going on?
All right, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here today to speak the word of God to you. I was actually bigger than that at one time. Yeah, I remember when he was this small.
Stories.
I still got these guns. They're bigger. All right, so, well, let's start. Okay, today we're going to be talking about, you know, friendships. And the topic I've been assigned is good companionships encourage good morals. And before I show how that happens, you know, how good companionships can help you, good friendships, there's two points I would like to bring out first. The first point is that your friends will either make you or break you. Your friends will either help you to be successful or they are going to bring you down. Now, we read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, "Be not deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals." The Bible says, don't be deceived. Because some people will believe that their friends will not affect them. That's why that's in there. It says, be not deceived. You know, those who you hang out with, if they are bad, evil people, will affect your behavior. But if you hang out with wise people, as it says in Proverbs 13, verse 20, you will become wiser and you will grow. So keep that in mind. Your friends will make you or break you. They can either help you to be successful in life, especially as a Christian, or they can bring you down and cause you to be lost. The second point I'd like to make in this introduction is that your life depends on having good friends. Your life depends on it. Now, God did not design us, you know, to live isolated from everybody else, but He designed us to be in a relationship with Him and also with other people, especially good companionships. And your life depends on having good friends. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And let's go to verse 9. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man may prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not freely broken or quickly broken. Okay, so it talks about here about the value of having companionships. You know, having good friends, you know, can strengthen you, can lift you up when you are down. But what if you're alone and you're going through a difficult situation and you don't have anybody to lift you up? Now, that is a scary situation. That's why the Bible encourages having good companionships. And that's one of the reasons the church exists, so we can have those good companionships. If you study 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 31, talking about the body of Christ, how Jesus Christ is the head of the body, and we are all members of it. You know, we play different roles. Now, we need to be connected to the body of Christ. We need to be connected to each other. Now, what happens if a hand of somebody's body is cut off? What happens to that hand? Now, that hand will not receive the nutrients it needs, the life-giving blood, and that hand will die. Same thing happens to a Christian who cuts himself off from the body of Christ. Now, you will not receive the help you need to sustain you. So it's very important to have good friends. Your life depends on it. Okay, so that's the introduction. Now we're going to be talking about how friends can encourage good morals. How having good friends can encourage good morals. In Proverbs 17, verse 17, the Bible says a friend loves at all times. A friend loves at all times. Now connect that verse with Romans 13, verse 10, where love does not do harm to his neighbor. Also connect that to, you know, the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, where it says there, love does not seek its own. Also, love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but love rejoices with the truth. A friend loves at all times. Now, if you have friends, especially young people, and they encourage you to partake in drugs or do alcohol, they are not true friends. At least not what Proverbs 17, verse 17 says. Because it says a friend loves at all times. And when a friend encourages you to do drugs or alcohol or anything that is sinful, they don't love you, because the Bible says in Romans 10, 13, love does not do harm to his neighbor. Love does not do harm to his neighbor. Or if you have a, you're a guy, you have a girlfriend. And if you encourage your girlfriend to have a physical relationship outside of marriage, you know, you don't love them, because fornication is harmful. And if you love another woman, you will not, you know, encourage them to get in bed with you if you're not married with them. Because love seeks what's good in his neighbor. But if you have a friend who is true, a friend who loves you, it says in 1 Corinthians 13, love does not seek its own, love is kind. You know, love rejoices with the truth. A person who is a true friend will love your soul. What's your most valuable possession? It's your soul. Matthew 16, verse 26. You have a soul that is more valuable than the whole world. And it's very important that you have friends out there who love your soul. Those are the type of friends you need. Those who want you to go to heaven. Those who want you to succeed. I mean, ultimately, that's what life is all about. You know, in order to have a successful life, you know, you need to end up in heaven. And a friend who loves your soul will help you to get there, will encourage you to get there. They will not encourage you to participate in behavior that is destructive, but they will encourage you to follow the truth, and they will encourage you to go to heaven. Okay, so a friend loves at all times. Another thing about friendships and having good friends is a good friend will hold you accountable. Accountability. A good friend will hold you accountable. Let's go to Proverbs 27, verse 6. Proverbs 27, verse 6, it says there, faithful are the wounds of a friend. When you're doing something that is wrong, a friend who is true, you know, they will hold you accountable, and they will rebuke you for your wrongdoing, because they have your best interest in mind. A good friend will hold you accountable. That's why in James 5:16, the Bible encourages us, in fact, commands us to confess our sins to one another. Because, you know, having good Christian friends will hold you accountable and help you do the right thing. Now, one of the problems that people struggle with, unfortunately, even in the church, you know, is the issue with pornography. It's something that people struggle with, whether you're young or old. And, you know, a lot of my friends warned me about this when I was young. And so, You know, one of the things that I have done to make sure that I don't participate in that is because it's more rampant now because we have the internet. Is, you know, I've got accountability software on my computer. And what this does is if I go to a bad site, an email gets sent to a couple of my friends. And so if I do something wrong, you know, they'll hold me accountable. Okay, and I would encourage you, if you struggle with that issue, do that. You know, go to xxxchurch.com and get that software so your friends can hold you accountable. And that's what good friends do. You know, they hold you accountable so you don't sin. You know, if there's an area in life you're struggling with, you know, talk to a friend about it. Talk to a good Christian friend. You know, that is what we're here for. You know, a good friend will hold you accountable. The next thing I have about having a good companionship and how they can encourage you to do better is a good friend is loyal. They are loyal to you and to the friendship. Let's go to Proverbs 18, verse 24. Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man of many companionships may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Okay, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You know, a lot of people think if they want to survive in life, they need an entourage. They need to have a lot of friends. But the Bible says that, you know, a person of many friends may come to ruin. You know, we've seen this in our, especially in Hollywood. You know, a lot of the actors, you know, they get these fake friends and they end up falling apart. But there is a friend who is loyal. A friend that will stick closer than a brother. Now, Jesus Christ in John 15, verse 14, is described as a friend to those who do his will. And what does the Bible say about God? About Jesus. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, it talks about how he will never forsake you and never leave you. Have you ever heard about the statement, fair-weathered friends? Now, there's friends out there when you're in your darkest hour that will not be there to lift you up. They'll just walk away and turn their back on you. But a true friend will remain loyal, just as Jesus Christ remains loyal to those who follow him. And I want to encourage you, if you want to learn what true friendship is, study 1 Samuel 18 through 20 and the relationship that Jonathan and David had, that close friendship. You know, Jonathan was a true friend to David. And when you think about his loyalty, Jonathan was a son of King Saul who strived to kill David. But despite the fact that Jonathan was related to King Saul, that was his father, because David was a good friend, he did everything he can to save David's life. Because he knew that that God had chosen David to be the king of Israel. And that is a good example of loyalty. So I would encourage you on your own to study 1 Samuel 18 through 20 about the relationship that Jonathan and David had. And you will see a good example of a loyal friend. Okay. The next thing I have here is a good friend, a good companion will build you up, will encourage you. Let's go to Ephesians 4, verse 15 through 16. Actually, let's start with Proverbs 27, verse 17. Let's end the book of Proverbs first. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Iron sharpens iron, and one sharpens another. A good friend will sharpen his companion and make him stronger. Let's also go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verses 15 through 16. Ephesians 4:15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, when you have good friends, they will help build you up. And especially when you're connected to the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is working like it's supposed to, respecting Jesus Christ at the head, you know, speaking the truth in love. You know, your life depends on the church. And if you want to grow as a Christian, if you want to be encouraged, it's very important that you stay connected to the body of Christ so you can be nourished and receive the encouragement that you need to grow stronger. Now, how would you like it if you had a friend who, every time you do something wrong, just tears you down and just beats you up? They don't really speak the truth in love. They don't encourage you. You wouldn't want that person as your friend. But yes, a friend can wound you, but you know, they also must try to encourage you and to build you up. And when the body of Christ is working like it's supposed to, a congregation will grow together in love, and each member will receive the nourishment it needs so they can everybody can be more like Christ. But it's very important that we grow up together in love and we speak the truth in love to build each other up. Okay. Now, the next thing I have about, you know, good friendships is a good friend will sustain you. A good friend will help you to be strong, will sustain you in your darkest hour or in time, in good times and bad. Romans 15, verse 15, talks about how a friend will rejoice when you rejoice and will weep when you weep. When there is a time to celebrate, a good friend will be there with you to celebrate and to rejoice with you. But when you are down, when you've gone through a dark time in your life, a good friend will cry with you, will weep with you. They'll help sustain you and help you to get through that dark hour. I mean, that's exactly what we see when we study the relationship between, you know, Jonathan and King David, where King David was doing everything he can, or King Saul, he was doing everything he can to destroy David. He wanted him dead because he was jealous. But Jonathan, as a true friend to David, he stood in there with David, and he hung in with him. And he helped sustain and save David's life because David was his friend. And in 1 Samuel 18:1, it talks about how they had this strong love for one another. Now, Jonathan loved David as his own soul and helped sustain David through that dark hour. Let's also go to Daniel 3. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel 3, verses 16. Let me give you the background here in Daniel chapter 3. While the children of Israel were in Babylonian captivity, King Nebuchadnezzar made a decree throughout the land that at a certain time they had to bow down and worship a false idol, worship an image. But there are three brothers here, three men, who stood up against King Nebuchadnezzar and said, "We're not going to do that." Let's go to Daniel 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, after, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were told that they had to worship a false idol. And they were threatened by the law of the land that if you didn't worship and bow down to this idol, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And you were going to be burned. But they stood up to the king and told him, we're not going to do it. We are going to serve God. Now, what helped them go through that dark time? It was that companionship. The fact that they were friends, they were together. No, they supported each other. And it didn't matter whether they were thrown in that fiery furnace and they died. No, they were able to stick together and hold strong. But what if they were just by themselves? You know, imagine how difficult that would have been. But they had each other's support. They sustained each other through that dark time. And as a result, you know, they were delivered and they were able to stand up to the king Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful king of the world at that time. And you know what? In our day and age, there may be a time where the law comes down and harden us and will threaten our religious liberties. And we may one day have to make a choice between God, serving God and serving another idol, so to speak. And if we want to get through those dark times, it's very important that we stay plugged in to the church and have good companionships. I mean, I remember so many times where, you know, growing up in this congregation that, you know, there were dark days. I mean, especially a few years ago, over a decade ago, there were some tough times that really were bothering me and were threatening my faith. But if it wasn't for this congregation, you know, I would have withered away because there was no way I could have got through some of these dark times I was going through. But the congregation here helped support me and sustain me through that dark time. And, you know, we need each other to be strong and to sustain us through that difficult time. Now, we talk about peer pressure a lot, how young people face peer pressure and as a result give into sin. But we need positive peer pressure from each other to sustain us and help us to grow and to help us through dark times. So a good friend can help sustain you and help you to endure. Now, the final point I have here is a good friend will help keep you to be saved. Now, let's go to 1 John 1, verse 7. 1 John 1, 7. Now, I've talked about this verse a lot. It's very encouraging. It says there in 1 John 1, 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, one of the keys to having your sins washed away is to be in fellowship with one another. To be in fellowship. To have that strong bond. Colossians 2, verse 2, you know, talks about this fellowship where we are connected together in love. We are knitted together. We are tied together in love. Philippians 2, verse 2, it talks about how in this fellowship we are the same mind, same accord. You know, we are one. We grow together in love. Now, we have that fellowship. And that fellowship, that bond we have with other Christians, helps keep us saved. It helps keep our sin washed away. Now, that's why it's very important to attend the service of the saints regularly, because we need each other in order to keep us saved. You know, that's why it says in Hebrews 10, verse 25, to not forsake the assembly, because we are to encourage one another. We are to encourage one another, to provoke unto love and good works. You know, being together will help keep us saved and will encourage us to do the right thing. And as Christians, you know, we all want to have good friends. It's very important that we be in fellowship with one another and we stay connected. But it's also very important that as parents, we all want our kids. If you have kids, you want your kids to have good friends. It's very important that as a church that we provide a very good environment where that can happen. an environment where people can grow. And let me tell you, in the church, on this side of eternity, people are going to make mistakes. You know, people will fall. You know, there are people who will make mistakes and sin. But it's very important that we provide an environment when that happens that you can help that person to go through that situation. I remember a situation very personal to me. You know, I had a close relative of mine in the church. You know, she got pregnant. And, you know, 10 years ago or so, if it was the old Lem, I would just beat her up for that. You know, I would just let her have that. Let her just beat her over the head for doing that. But as I grew, I realized, you know what? You can rebuke her as much as you want, but that's not going to change anything. You know, she's sorry for what she has done, and she's repented of it. Now we got to provide the environment where we can support her and help her get through that situation. And that is exactly what the church did. You know, supported her through that dark time. There was a lot of compassion. Don't get the idea that we condone the sin. We didn't condone it, but she repented of it. And today, because the church supported her through that dark time, you know, she's a very strong Christian. She's a Bible class teacher, you know, working in the church, because the church provided that environment when she messed up to help nurture her along and encourage her. Because I've known a lot of environments, or, you know, I've heard stories that, you know, a long time ago when somebody got pregnant, you know, people would just give that person the cold shoulder and just, you know, treat them like they had a scarlet letter situation. And I've heard that situation happen before. And as a result, that person would fall away. But as Christians, when a person falls, we got to lift them back up. And that's why my cousin was able to get, or my relative was able to get through that difficult situation. Because the support was there. And when somebody falls, we got to be there to help support them, to sustain them, and to get them through that dark time. And that's what, you know, fellowship is all about, you know. People will make mistakes, but we also got to be there to help bring them back up and guide them along through that dark situation so they can be strong. And so, remember 1 John 1 verse 7? If we have fellowship with one another, if we walk in the light, the blood of Christ will keep us saved. And the thing is, those in the church, now we ought to care about one another's souls. Now, our souls are very valuable. And as I mentioned before, somebody who loves you will love your soul. And in the church, we got to do that. We got to love each other's soul so we can keep each other saved. Okay, so, you know, that concludes this portion of the lesson for review. How friends can encourage good morals. A good friend will love you at all times. That is my first point. The second point I had is a friend will hold you accountable. The third point I had is a good friend will be loyal to you. They are not a fair-weather friend, but they will be loyal to you. The fourth point I had was a true friend, a good friend, will build you up and will encourage you. The fifth point I had is a good friend will sustain you, will keep you strong. And the last point I had here was a good friend will keep you saved. So some final thoughts before we conclude this lesson. Now, we talked about a characteristics of a good friend. Now, when you're seeking friends, whether you're old or young, it's very important that we look at character. We judge somebody according to their character and not according to their looks. John 7, verse 24. Jesus Christ said, don't judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. You know, judge a person according to their character. I mean, I remember in the high school and junior high days where, you know, I was in the public school system and, you know, you wanted to have friends who were the most popular and who were the most, quote-unquote, cool. And, of course, these were some of the worst people you wanted to be friends with. But it's very important that you judge a person according to their character. What is their character? Now, do they have the characteristics that we talked about in this lesson. Now, do they love you? Do they hold you accountable? Are they loyal? Do they care about your soul? Now, choose friends of good character. And remember John 7:24, don't judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Also, make yourself a good friend. That's the next point I have here. Make yourself a good friend. If you want to have good friends, then be the person that is also a good friend. You know, be like Jesus. Be that person that's talked about in Philippians 2, verse 3 and following, that thinks of other people more important than themselves. That's the type of person you want to be. A person who does not seek his own interest, but thinks of other people more important than themselves. Strive to be that person if you want to have good friends. Also, make friends with characters of the Bible. You know, in Hebrews 11, that's the section that's commonly called the Hall of Faith. And it talks about Bible characters who were saved, who made it, who survived through often difficult times because they had faith. Well, study these characters in the Bible and become friends with them and emulate their lives. And when you study the characters of the Bible, you know, besides Jesus, you will see that a lot of them went through the same situations that you've gone through. But they made it. They survived because of their faith. So study their life in Hebrews chapter 11. Of course, the final point I have here is be a friend of God. Be a friend of God. In John 15, verse 14, we mentioned this verse earlier, where Jesus Christ said, "I am your friend if you do the things that I tell you." Imagine having Jesus Christ as a friend who will never leave you nor forsake you. Having Jesus Christ as a friend who you communicate with regularly. And, you know, just think about how much Jesus Christ loved you by dying on the cross for your sins. You know, he gave up, you know, the glory of heaven and came down on this earth and became a man just like you, so you can be saved. And if you ever know what the definition of a true friend is, it is Jesus Christ. And in John 15, verse 13, it talks about no greater love than a friend has than one who gives his life for his friends. Now, that's the type of friend we have to be, and that's the type of friend that Jesus Christ was. Gave his life not only for his friends, but for his enemies, for the people who spat on him, for the people who nailed him to the cross. He died for them. For the people who are out there who continue to mock Jesus. Jesus Christ died for them. That's how much love he has, not only for us, but also for his enemies. That's how much that he wants people to be saved. And now I will offer the invitation. If there's anybody here who needs to respond to the gospel and obey the gospel, just think about how much, you know, we've talked about friendships. Think about how much that God loves you. John 3:16. He loved you so much that he was willing to give up his own son so you can be saved. Think about how much he loved you. And just think about the cross, about what he did. You know, coming on this earth, you know, being crucified, you know, being whipped on the back. You know, you think about him being whipped. It's not like one of those whips when your parents spank you. But those whips in the Roman time, they actually tore skin apart and mangled you. The Bible says, with his stripes we are healed in Isaiah 53. You know, that's what Jesus Christ went through on our behalf. And, you know, being crucified and in a sense being forsaken. But he went through that so you can be saved. So if you're not a Christian, you know, the Bible says if you want to have contact with the blood of Christ that washes away your sins, it's very important that you repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. Then you can have that blood to cleanse away your sins and keep you whole and keep you saved. You can have that blood applied to your life. Now, if you are a Christian and you have fallen short of the glory of God, now God has a plan of salvation for you. 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, God has a plan for you, and He does not want you to be lost. And the reason I know that God does not want you to be lost is He gave up His own Son. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And the reason I know that is He put His Son to death. He said, over my dead body, that you would be lost. But if it's very important that if you have not received the grace of God in obedience, it's very important that you recognize that God is reaching out to you. But you need to hold on to that life raft and grab on and meet the conditions of salvation that God has made for you. So, if this is your need, please come. All together we stand and sing.
I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee.
Please be seated.